Automation and AI are two transformative forces, but combined, they are innovation accelerators. Today, we have industry expert Doug Shannon ready to explain why both technologies combined make innovation go boom. Howdy, Doug. Would you mind introducing yourself to the very small number of people left in the world who don't know you, sir?
Yeah, thanks, Karen, for having me. And yeah, so my background, 20 years of IT experience, moved into the automation field for the last, almost 6 years, driving some really great insights and doing everything online from LinkedIn to managing companies and driving things forward on where digital transformation and everything kind of combines. So let's, I'm ready to jump into it.
Well, with 100,000 people in some way connected to you on LinkedIn alone, you must be doing something right. So let's share some insights with the audience. Doug, how do you see the integration of automation and AI catalyzing transformations in industry?
So the big thing about automation, right, is it's a massive integrator. And as an integrator, we're talking all the way from legacy to current processes and really how it galvanizes the core systems of every corporation, organization, enterprise. So what happens when you bring in AI into that, and especially Gen AI in the future where we're moving, we're seeing lots of value drivers in regards to using automation to again, galvanize those core systems, making sure we understand the audit control of those core systems and ensuring we know where it's going to go, and the efficiencies that are being built around that. Where AI and Gen AI comes in is it gives us the ability to do this term that I call AI spanning. And AI spanning is essentially where you're using AI in the beginning, the middle, or the end of an automation that is kind of just adding more value to it and giving kind of like essentially you're almost like driving the human in the loop without the human, because you can answer a lot of those variables that were previously unanswerable with automation, and you can actually answer that now with Gen AI.
Oh, interesting. So how does that integration play out in achieving process efficiency, data accuracy, or performance improvements across the enterprise?
Yeah, so you know how we've always heard those terms of like hyper automation, or I tend to say hyperscaling because it makes more sense, or, a bot for every person, all these things, right? So what we're getting with Gen AI and doing kind of this AI spanning is we're actually seeing all of those intelligent automations that we talked about for years that we weren't able to touch, but now we can actually build in the nuance, we can build in the variables that we weren't able to capture. We can actually make it to where our users and our company has more seamless, it just works. It's almost like the conveyor belt just goes down the line and things get added in. And those things are very auditable and those things are very seen. But again, like AI by itself and Gen AI can't do this alone. It does take enterprise automation to perform these actions. I've talked to many in the AI space and you get a kind of mix and grab bag of who says what, but some say AI can do it all, and others understand that that's not possible yet. So at this point, understanding your own organization, your enterprise, and where that's at, understanding your own processes and how you're driving that currently to really drive that forward and enable your users, embolden your employees, and build those efficiencies are really where things are moving to, and that's the goal.
Be interesting as well to see AI actually uncovering a lot of those processes now in an automated fashion. Knowledge graph is the latest term I've heard for that, and I kind of like that as well. Doug, how can organizations, though, nurture a culture where people want to support the actual integration of AI and automation and make things happen? Because that has, I say before, automation and now AI's dirty secret is that people are often the blockers to making both of those or even any of those things actually happen.
Yeah, I mean, just like we saw with like the classic digital transformation and really driving that through to an enterprise or a system of people. So when you have people, again, it comes with people first, it ends with people. You have to bring them on that journey. But by bringing them on the journey, sometimes we get lost in what that means. And so anytime that you work with your users and you say, we're going to automate this function that you do, it's maybe a swivel chair approach or maybe something that's just very manual, we're going to automate that. And then now, again, we can automate more because we have those variables we can answer with Gen AI. And so when you do that, you need to, part of that is like unwritten handshake rule with your user and says like, we're going to automate this, but you're not going to get fired. my stance on that is it's not fire, it's don't hire. So essentially, you're going to automate things in the future and you're going to use Gen AI to build these efficiencies. You're not firing anybody, because what happens is if you fire one person, then everybody thinks their jobs are gone. And you basically fill that bucket of fear for them, and you don't want to fill that bucket. What you want to do is you want to say, we're not firing anyone, and here's why, because we're going to flip that on its head. Instead of Microsoft and Google, where they hire tens of thousands of people and they lay them off 3 to 6 months later, what you're doing is you say, in your own company, you work with your other C-suite individuals, you say, anybody that comes to me and says, hey, we need to hire 4 to 6 more people because we can't catch up. My first reaction to that person would say, hi, have you met our automation and AI team? Because what they'll do is they'll help you facilitate this win. So you don't need 4 to 6. We may still hire 2, but we're going to hire the best 2 we can get. But that cost savings at 4, it's instant ROI. And again, you're not just hiring people to be bodies. You're hiring people that are valued members that you want to bring into this. And they're going to want to be there too, because they know you're building efficiencies. You're driving this impact, and they're not going to get fired. So the goal is like drive them through the process, bring them on that journey, show them the wins, and build that brave environment where you don't have, where you know, like you're not being fired. You know that there's not somebody like waiting to take your job or some technology to take your job. Bring the people on the journey, let them see the wins.
I wonder though, was the handshake enough, the unspoken handshake? Because a couple of years ago, this is the interesting paradox. Most, if not all, automation vendors went with the lead story that said you can remove most of your workforce, and everybody drank the Kool-Aid. Yeah. And the first company I seen was a large bank in the UK who literally went out loud and took a first pay an ad in a newspaper, national newspaper in the UK, and went, we will not fire anyone for using intelligent automation. You will be guaranteed a job. And I adored and loved it. But the number of companies, including the vendors who sold the software, that basically said, get rid of your staff, I still think we're suffering from that to this day. And economic disruption over the last 2 years didn't help that either.
Yeah, no, we're 100% still suffering from that. Even to the point that I mentioned, like Microsoft and Google, right, doing these things. Every year we see this. We see these large layoffs somehow always before Christmas, right? But in general, it's always sad because there's another way to do it. And it's always sad because there are tools that we can use. There is process automation. There is enterprise automation that can help build some of this and build and make it seamless to where you don't have to do this. I still think it's a matter of learning, and leaders that got their MBAs from reputable colleges are taught like, hey, people cost money. And if you want to save the bottom line, the easy fix is get rid of people. That shouldn't be the easy fix. That's why I'm saying like we should flip that script and say it's not fire, it's just don't hire, but hire the people for the right reasons, hire the people that are valuable for that goal, but make sure that goal is not just to fill a spot with bodies or bring people to the mix, because that's not a solution. That's a break fix. That is like RPA, right? It's like back in the day, like, oh, I have a need, fill a need, put a person in there, hey, need done. That's not the best approach. And so since we have these tools and we have these abilities and we have this more digital mindset and this and the ability to actually drive this and work with our users to facilitate it, that's the win.
I'm a tremendous fan of talent density, not volume of staff. And I think for 2 years, that has been one of the problems. We've got a shortage, throw people at the problem and see where we get it. But Doug, back to automation teams. Organizations have a choice. And what we're describing to a certain degree is incremental innovation. But then they can use all of this technology to do something hugely transformative. But that's a potential different outcome, and a different outcome from the amount of technology used, from the business results that you expect, and from probably the volume of people who may be needed to complete the work when intelligent automation really can, when infused with generative AI and AI, do a lot of the things we previously delivered. How do you marry that or square that circle, as they say?
I mean, automation and even Gen AI, I mean, everything is an iterative journey. There is no silver bullet. There's not, I mean, everybody wants to get to the end and purchase the thing to do the thing. But when you actually build out, And it's the same thing you see like in COEs, like when you have a center of enablement or a center of excellence, that's really driving these overall automation efforts and even the Gen AI efforts. What you tend to see is that COE sees a lot of the business, sees almost pretty much everything. Anything that was swept under the rug, anything that was hidden or lurking in the shadows, like they're going to find it. And when they do, it's a matter of like, how do we address it? Is there ROI there? Is there ability to drive new insight there that we didn't have before? And really just follow the crumbs. But when you put all that together, you get that insight and that intellectual, just like data-driven metrics and say like, we now know how to move forward because of these insights. And so that's the overall win is getting the teams to see it, but being able to take action on it is the other thing. And really when it comes down to the culture of a business, everybody says that the common thing that I talk about is like people always say my business is different than this other business and that business is different. They're a perfect snowflake or they walk in different tracks. Well, come to find out, like especially with technology now, we're all kind of the same, but the main difference is the fact that like every company's culture is different. So we all come from different backgrounds, different cultures, but as a company and as people that are employed by a company, you are part of that culture. And that culture either is a digital one or it is very impactful on trying to do new things and very innovative, or it's very stuck in its ways. And maybe there's an upheaval that needs to happen in other ways because, you know, people don't move or people don't want to move. And it's a normal thing that people do anyway because we don't like to change. In general, people don't change well, and change is the new constant. And that's something we have to get used to.
Yeah, and that is the interesting bit. How do we get people into that recognition? I mean, everyone, the change is coming and coming and coming. In terms of the COE, you were mentioning that a moment ago. How do you think CIOs, COEs should go about creating robust and transparent governance structures to ensure that as we do all these changes that we're mentioning and as they obviously impact people, we do it in a transparent, ethical way so that we do bring people on the journey and we do it the right way as well?
Yeah, so in that, I kind of follow my framework that I built out called the ACT model. And ACT is alignment, clarity, and transparency. And really, I built that model because being in a very technical role, but also driving people and managing people, you find that the only way to really manage it all is to be very philosophical in a way. And the thing, even using ACT like in a personal life works because when you're aligning on something, like Karen, you and I are aligning like, hey, we're going to have a talk, we're going to do it on this day. But then the clarity of that is, you know, I may say something, but you may understand it differently than I do. So to kind of get that communication gap to happen is like we have to be clear on what we're saying. And even though sometimes being clear may come off as like, oh, you're too blunt, right? There's a problem there is like, well, you need to understand what that person is saying, where they're coming from. So clarity really puts you on the same grounding, the same footing as the other person or the other organization or enterprise you're working with. Now, the transparency comes into play when everything you've aligned on, gained clarity on, is now being transparent. You're like, hey, we aligned that we're going to meet. We're doing this. We're talking on a podcast right now, and hopefully everybody is enjoying this that's watching us. And the transparency is we're doing it. We're doing it well, and we're able to drive that conversation forward. And then the way back is coming back at the end of this and saying, hey, we did that. This is what happened. The clarity of that is we did it well. Here's what we could have did better next time and whatnot. Or maybe we drive into something. And then the alignment is like, what do we do from here? And then what is the feedback that the audience gives us, right? So all of that comes into play. And really in a business, personal lives, all that comes, like it works very well from what I've seen, at least from my experience. And so I recommend that.
Oh, wow. It's interesting that because over the last numbers of weeks and months, as I'm working with new companies in my own business, that clarity of language is just so, so key. So I'm saying operations, someone saying foundations. We end up in an entirely different place when we're both talking about the same thing. So it's interesting. Doug, so leaving people today, last question, if you don't mind. How do we go about creating this AI first, automation first business that really will accelerate everything that we're doing in a hyper-personalized, hyper-productivity way, done in a good way, where everything is transparent, where everything is ethical, where we're actually valuing people and we're bringing the best to people who can then perform at their best? What are the takeaways or the actions that people should follow to make all of that beautiful nirvana happen and not have to worry about their jobs or anything else in between?
Yeah, I think the best way to start there is even though we all know we live in interesting times, and even though we can say change is the new constant, we kind of have a bonus feature here, is the fact that we know the future is coming, and we know what that looks like in a way, because we know Gen AI is out there, and there's future forms of Gen AI that's going to come across. Like maybe we see AGI soon, maybe we see ASI, and which is artificial super intelligence, the way future, hopefully, because nothing soon. But in general, we know that's coming, and we know that we need to gear up for it now. It's not going to solve all of our issues. We can't just wait for it to happen. When you wait for things to happen to you, then you're just kind of there. But if you can be proactive and you say, well, how do I get there? And kind of to your question, Kieran, is, you know, you start off with automation, because automation is going to teach you where your processes are, where they live now. And then you start to look to, how do I build in the automation to get the most value? Because when you look to get that ROI and that value back from your automation or your enterprise automation efforts, that money saved now makes you more able to handle future threats. You know, maybe pandemics, maybe when AI does come in and now you have your understanding where your stuff is, you can actually adjust and adapt to it faster than the next guy or the next company. So now you're more nimble. You're able to handle and soak some of that and diversify in a way that your competitors cannot, therefore you win the cup, right? So use automation, get to intelligent automation, drive your team. Some people say, like, well, Doug, how do you get to intelligent automation? Like, the easy answer to that is sometimes it's just a matter of your own team. So when you have an automation team, when they start to get smarter themselves because they see that culture of that company and they're driving through those processes and they understand like the nuances of that everybody works with at your company, what you get is you get a smarter automation team, which is fairly intelligent. So you're using reusable parts. You're not hard coding things. You're building it to where if something does fail, it doesn't matter because the process knows how to fix it the next time it runs. So there's all of these features that come in. And that's some of that self-healing stuff that I've talked about many, many years ago, that is now just forefront of where things are now. And so that's the future. Build now, build your process where they're going, understand where they're at, understand your business, understand your business's culture, and then drive towards that, because you're going to have that visibility. And when you have that, then when you get to Gen AI and you want to bring all that in, it's a no-brainer. Like your core systems are handled. It's all built to automation. It's very secure. You can build software testing and automation testing around your Gen AI to make sure, hey, it did some things, but what are the audits around that? There's lots of wins there. And even then, you're going to find out that there's still legacy stuff. There's always going to be something legacy because we move so fast. Well, automation has the ability to build those API connectors from an automation. So you can just call an API that runs an automation to get it up to date, so your Gen AI is doing fine. So if you don't have all that in place, you're just behind. So the point is, we see the future. That's a blessing because we know it's coming. So now we can prepare for it. So now it's time to get on board. It's time to drive that and to move forward.
I suppose that is the clarion call that we're giving people today. The starting gun has been fired. And It is a bit of a do or die to some degree. I used the phrase a while ago, I wish it was mine. I'm going to claim it's mine, but I don't think it was, Doug, called digital Darwinism. And we've been saying this for a couple of years. Unfortunately, or fortunately, the economy was so rich that nobody needed to do something for a couple of years. Now we're back in real world economics. Imagine that, Doug, that a business has to actually earn real money, not be a unicorn on the basis of hope and promise in years to come. But the gun has been fired. Folks have the opportunity to suddenly use AI, intelligent automation, do all these things to create very robust and agile organizations. And if they don't, then that's probably not going to be the prettiest place to work. And it may not even exist. Let's see. I mean,
the simple is the Toys R Us example, right? That was even before AI. That was just automation. AWS and Amazon automated Toys R Us, and then they are no longer a business.
Yeah, it's happened before, it'll happen again. There's the funny thing, though, just to finish. Everybody imagines automation to be the most amazing things in the world, but a simple ChatGPT prompt, a simple robot, and then by starting working your way up, as you mentioned, with a very clever, intelligent automation team, you can scale things pretty quickly. The key bit, though, is, as ever, just getting started. Doug, thank you so much for all the wisdom and insights today. Doug, if people want to find out a little bit more about you, how do they go about doing that, sir?
The best way to find me is on LinkedIn. It's pretty much the only social media platform I'm on. So I appreciate come take a look and reach out if you have any questions.
Excellent. Doug, thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks.